Brother Miller was asking me what my New Year's resolution is, and I said I'm going to be preaching on it. So let me turn your attention to the Apostle Paul, where he said, I press toward the mark. Meditation on Philippians 3, 13 and 14 for Open Door Baptist Church. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, I've grasped the whole thing, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, which would be the problems, forgetting those, forgetting the glories of the past, you see, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is not a resolution of things to accomplish so I can get more gold and get more fame, but to do the will of God, the high calling. To be called to preach is a great calling. Answering it is not always easy, but then nothing that we do that's worthwhile is really easy. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and he says, I want to win the prize. I like this idea. This is striving to reach the mark by which you can win the prize. We are living in a day where everybody wants to tell us it's not our fault. We are in the age of victimhood. We find, what is it that is pulling me down, and how do I get reparations for that? You know, I love the Negro spiritual. To understand this is to misunderstand it is to say what some of these are saying, that the white man's religion was forced upon the slaves. It was not true. Many of these slave owners didn't really have much of a Christianity, but this was their release from slavery. They didn't get out, but their spirit was free. And this is the thing. And the true Christians were the ones working to end slavery, recognizing that it's more than economics. It's more than background and tradition and so on. It's just wrong to enslave other people. Let me share with you then 10 steps to press toward the goal. This is not a long message, although it has 10 points, but analyzing the concept behind Paul saying, I press toward the mark. Let's abandon the idea that we are owed anything in this life. You know, I have been born, so you owe me this, and you, no. This is a time to think of our responsibility, not our rights or all that type of thing. So he says, first of all, the mark. I press toward the mark. By faith, let me ask you and me to envision yourself being formed into the image of Christ, to be as Christ-like as you can be. This isn't to walk around with a robe and sandals, you see. This is to bear the character of Christ. And that is the mark. This is our goal. You can have various ideas about being holy, you know, and you can learn how to turn your nose up at other people and all that kind of stuff. But that's not being like Christ. When the higher-ups of the Jewish religion says, why are you hanging around all the sinners? He said, I came to win the sinners. The people who don't think they need a physician, they're not coming to me. But the people who know they're needy are coming to me. And so this is our greatest goal, to be Christ-like. I love to think of him working with the people and the disciples, looking at the thousands who wanted to come, wanted to hear him, wanted to be encouraged by him, wanted to be healed by him, sometimes wanted to be fed by him. And they said, well, he's a very busy man. Then the mothers had gathered with their children and said, we just wondered if he could bless our children. That's our whole life. And they said, oh, he doesn't have time for that. And they were sending him away. And Jesus said, don't do that. Bring them to me. This is the image of Christ. This is the image of love. This is the image of how can I help? That is the image of Christ. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And here's what your predestination is, you Presbyterians, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is all about adoption. This is about becoming the brothers of Christ, the sons of God. Here's what I want you to understand is set it down in your thinking. What is the mark you're moving toward? What is the mark that you are striving for, you're pressing toward? Because the way God made us, you tend to move in the direction of your main desire. I've told the story before about the person that wanted to lose weight, so they put a picture of a big, fat, sloppy person on the refrigerator door so that they would be shamed into not going there so often. But it didn't work, and it didn't work. And finally somebody said, don't do that. Get the picture of somebody that looks very fit and put your head on top of that picture. And when they had that mark, when they had that goal to press toward, then it changed the way they thought about going to the refrigerator and getting all their snacks. The best thing we can put into our mind is the image of Christ. Now, is it your image, my image? I'm not talking about your imagination. I'm talking about what the Bible says. Reading the Gospels, reading them and walking along with Jesus, learning with the disciples, being chastised by Christ as they were, being encouraged as they were. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with open face beholding, as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, we look into the mirror of the Word of God and we see him. So we are open face beholding him, the glory of the Lord. And he says, when we do that, we are changed into the same image. From glory, his glory, to glory, the glory in us, showing the glory of the Lord. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He says, it's not you working out to look like Christ. This is the magical thing, the spiritual thing, the miraculous thing of being done by the Spirit, that your very thinking becomes changed as you focus on the image of Christ. As you do your devotions, get Christ out of it. Maybe in the Gospels, maybe in the Old Testament prophets, as they were looking forward to the coming Messiah. But see Christ in this. You say, well, what if I get out of the Gospels? Well, you go to the epistles, and they're preaching to the people saying, How did Christ live, see? Become Christ-like. And as you focus on that, you begin to make these changes. You begin to move in the direction of your main desire. So this is where desire steps in. This is where your passion kicks in, and you are changed miraculously by the Spirit of the Lord. The second step to press toward the goal, I get from the word I. Accept complete 100% responsibility for everything that you are and everything that you will be. much of what we are unchangeable features. We are children of our parents, who were children of their parents, and right on back down through the line. And so the varying colors of us as we look at each other probably came through the lineage, you know. And let's just rejoice. This is the way God has planned it for us. The characteristics, the tendency to be big, the tendency to be slight, this is something given to you, you see. Dirty concept in this age, but the sex you were given is given by God. We are to rejoice in that, not rebel against it. Pretend like you can rebel against it. So accept complete responsibility. Say, who I am is who I am choosing to be. And what I will be depends really on me, not waiting on the government check. Paul said, I count, I do, I press. He wasn't saying, I hope they do the pressing for me. I do it. See. Let me take you forward in time to the rapture of the church. And there we stand, as Christians, we stand before Christ to the judgment seat. The Greek word is the bema seat. My wife and I in Greece saw the bema seat, a big block of stone, but it was where the judges for the races sat. And this isn't the judge that sent you to jail or something. This was the judge that gave you the gold prize, the silver prize, the bronze prize. I don't know if they used those in those days, but that's the idea. You were rewarded for how well you ran the race. I had a fellow come to me. Fellow should have known better. And he said, okay, now at the judgment seat, you can see where his mind was at. He said, now at the judgment seat, we don't get judged for the things we ask forgiveness for, right? So he was saying, okay, I don't have to face that one again. I asked forgiveness for that, that's okay. I said, well, that's not what the judgment seat of Christ is about. You're not judged whether you ask forgiveness or not. I said, you're judged for how well you ran the race. So I gave him this illustration just off the top of my head. I said, running a hurdle race, you know, you've seen those? And so you run out and you hit the hurdle and you just fall over and you skid into the cinders with your face. And you go running over to the coach and you say, I'm so sorry I did that. I trained better than that. I should have known how to do that, and I'm so sorry. He said, okay, get back to the race. So he runs to the next one. He hits the hurdle again. He goes running over to the coach. I'm so sorry I did that. Would you forgive me, please? I can't run any further if I don't get your forgiveness. And so on and on it goes. I said, how well did he run the race? Not well at all, you see. What prize does he get? Not a very good one. This isn't about whether you can make it through with all of your sins forgiven. Your sins are forgiven if you're a Christian. All of them. You say, what about the ones I haven't done yet? Well, when did Christ pay for your sins? Well before you were born. So what was he looking at when he paid for your sins? All of your sins. It was looking at you in your totality and dealt with all of those sins. See, the thing is, he knew everything that you would do when he accepted you as a son. You're not surprising him at all. But how well did you run the race? How well did you accomplish his goal? Becoming like the image of Christ. Doing the things he told us to do. Keep at it, see. At the judgment seat of Christ, you will be held responsible for your life. Refuse to make excuses. Refuse to blame others for your problems or shortcomings. I would have done better except for them. One missionary, it was reported, he said, I could be a really good missionary if it weren't for you crummy people that I'm ministering to. sort of the point, wasn't it? Stop complaining. Refuse to criticize others. Your decisions of life are up to you. Romans 14:10. Why judgest thou thy brother? Who made you the judge, you see? Or why dost thou yet set at naught your brother? You're nothing. That's setting them at naught, at zero. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes. We'll get that stopped eventually. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, and according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And good or bad here references profitable or unprofitable. So let's focus on the I will press. Third is the concept involved in I press. Take the vision and create, and here's a good New Year's resolution, create a written goal. You see, you have to actually think this through to put it down. So I would suggest, I don't get this out of the Bible, just for me, write 10 goals to accomplish in this next year. 97%, I don't know who counted that up, but 97% of all people never list their life goals. You say, well, I'm in the majority, okay. Well, now I want you to consider goals for your spiritual growth, such as Bible reading. You don't get any special prize for reading the Bible through once a year, but you gain a lot. So plan that out. Set that as a goal. Dedicated time in prayer. Actual time spent in prayer. Witnessing to others. Actually communicating the gospel to others. Urging them to turn to Christ. And provoking, taking the word from Hebrews, provoking other believers to love and good works. Egging them on. Encouraging them. But then also consider goals for your mental growth, such as setting a reading schedule of 5 books for a year, a routine for playing games that exercise the mind, cultivating friendships with those with whom you can intelligently discuss things, maybe other than the sports scores. And setting a schedule for learning something new. Mental growth. And then consider goals for your physical growth. I didn't want to emphasize that one. Such as exercise, learning and putting into practice good eating habits. So my good eating habits came from my mother, who told me to finish the food on my plate, you know? I've had to unlearn that quite a bit, just say, nah, I'm full, thanks. How about eliminating binge eating and lazy inactivity? Setting goals. Now, 3 different areas here. You can surely come up with 10 goals for a year. And if you write it down, then it's not so easy to dismiss. Bring it to mind as you go to God day by day, daily devotions and so on. Number 4, again, I press. This is, I'm pressing, you see. I'm pushing this thing. So hate slothfulness. Love diligence. Hard work. Sorry to use 4-letter words on you, but hard work. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. I press. Work hard to be an unashamed workman. Let me just load you down with some scripture. Proverbs 10:4. If you're taking notes, just put down the references. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful or deceitful shall be under tribute. Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. Oh, I just can't roast it. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth once, but hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Huh, I knew there was a good verse for me. Proverbs 21:5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. Proverbs 22:29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean or obscure men. Proverbs 27:23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. How's your business doing? How's the business part of your business doing? Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. And look, set thy heart well to thy herds. Do that, it promotes the growth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study, which is the word that means give diligence, not just study like a book. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, the point here is that we actually, even in our jobs, we're serving the Lord. He is our boss. There's a thing called the Protestant work ethic that has amazed all the people that were pushing for socialism. They said, when you let these people go, they worked as if God were watching them and seeing whether they were doing a good job or not. And these people said, well, he is. And he doesn't miss a trick, see? He doesn't miss anything. I think that's a card game reference rather than a magician trick. The point is, we serve God and he's watching us every moment. And so you can't slough off on the job without being judged, one who's stealing your wages rather than earning them. The fifth one is, again, I press. This time the point is, get all the help you can. Recognize your spiritual gift. Concentrate on it. Recognize your strong points. Work toward that. Work that in. Use your strong points in your pressing. Use your God-given strengths to motivate yourself in your work. Think of the higher calling God has given you in your present work and duties. When David was given the job that was relegated to slaves, you read about him being chosen as king. The prophet comes. He says, gather your sons together. One of them is going to be king. Oh, great. Got them all together. And he says, no, none of them. Are you sure you don't have any other sons? He says, well, I do have David. I just sent him out to watch sheep. That's all he's good for. Bring him in. He's going to be the king. So talk about a dead-end job. I mean, he's watching the sheep. And the hardest thing about watching sheep and counting them is staying awake, right? Natural to the job, count the sheep, fall asleep. So he wanted to protect them from predators, male and animal, human and animal, and might have been a woman, sheep thief, I don't know. Anyway, so he learned how to use the rod, baton, beat people off, also a sling, and he did that with even a lion. A lion had grabbed someone, he grabbed it by the beard, the fur at the chin, beat it on the head till it let it go, and ran off saying, this guy's crazy. You don't treat lions like that. And for the ones that he didn't want to approach close at all, he had the sling, which proved very effective for him later. It was a skill he learned on the job. How about staying awake? Well, he took the time in that pastoral setting to memorize all of the scripture that he had, first five books of the Bible. He memorized it in Hebrew, but that was his language, so. And then, to exercise his mind, he taught himself to play the harp, handheld harp, and then turned the scripture, he meditated on the scripture and turned them into songs. We have them recorded for us in the Psalms. God liked the songs that were created right out of the scripture, from memorizing the scripture. So what about your job serves God and man? See? Think about that and emphasize that. Commit yourself to use your strengths, deal with it. So see how your spiritual gifts can be exercised in doing these things. Romans 12, 6 to 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether it be prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, ministry, serving, let us wait on our ministry, our serving, he that teacheth, emphasize teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth or imparteth, let him do it with simplicity or liberally, with generosity, he that ruleth hath a gift of organization with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy often tends to hang around the people that are depressed, people that are sad, healing the sad. And that tends then to be a sad thing. But do it with cheerfulness. Sixth one is this, I press. This is where we emphasize this force, commit yourself to excellence, not following the great philosopher Mediocrates, who said, good enough. Saw that online. Commit yourself to excellence. I press. Work to please God and not merely men. Envision doing your job as if your immediate boss was none other than Jesus Christ, who died for you. Develop the most important skill of your life, knowing God through his word. Not just read the word and get a gold star, get a check mark for how long you have spent in the Bible, but read it to know him, to understand him. Search the word to see how he wants you to do the job. Proverbs 8:6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. We can go straight to the top, not just good enough, not just better, but best. Look for excellence. Proverbs 22:20, have I not written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Philippians 1:10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. That judgment day. Number seven, I press. This is an ongoing thing. So dedicate yourself to lifelong learning. You probably don't know everything you need to know to do the best. Dedicate yourself to be a disciple. This is more than just a follower that's keeping the leader up in view and following along at your own pace. This is one who has dedicated himself to the discipline. A disciple is a disciplined learner of Jesus. So I would encourage you to commit, organize your day so you can commit 30 to 60 minutes of reading a day. Read the scripture first and then add in some godly literature. President of the seminary where I attended said that he took his devotional time, but he also had a book like he was reading in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Penta, five, Tuch, volumes. And He had a book on the archaeology, Bible archaeology of the Pentateuch. And so he would read some of both of those, one feeding the other. Read the scripture first and godly literature. And I haven't got into this so much, but now that my hearing aids are actually, my phone broadcasts right into my hearing aids, I've found that driving a thing, I can play something on my phone and I hear it very well. I had trouble plugging my phone into my radio and all this kind of stuff, but now it's directly into my head. I'm listening to the voices in my head. It's one of those things where downloaded a series from Dr. Phelps at Colonial Hills on the Baptists' view, examining the doctrines of Calvinism, and found it very instructive and very helpful. And I've been listening to that on my, especially my hour drive down to school and the hour drive back, hour or plus. So listen to instructional tapes or CDs. My son Paul got me, Audubon, the books on tape, on, what is it?
Audible,
yeah, that's it. Audubon's of birds, right? Okay. I haven't quite got that. I should be able to pull it up on my phone. That's where the app is, but it hasn't been working yet. Maybe I just haven't figured out how to work the app yet. But anyway, it's one of those things where you can read a number of books just as you're passing the time. 2 Peter 1:5 says, besides this, giving all diligence, the hard work necessary, add to your faith virtue, doing moral excellence, and to virtue, knowledge. This is actually a part of growing in holiness. The eighth one is this: I press, dedicate yourself to serving others. That's what the ministry is. Ministry is serving. That's what Paul was talking about, essentially. Learn humility. You know, you can't be a proud servant. It's really contradictory. Learn humility and honesty in relationships with others. Love people to Christ. Consider how to serve God by serving others in your job, in your recreation, in your family duties, and in your casual interaction with others. We had a birthday party for my son, who was born on the 22nd, and we gathered the family together. We went around the table and asked each one to say, what do you like about him? And except for the people that had to pass, no, everybody was able to say something. And it was interesting to find out what his children said, especially important what his wife said. But his mother and his father had things that they really liked about this boy. And, it doesn't inflate your ego so much as to say, what I'm doing is important. And what a great, we learned to do that from my other son, who was born on the 15th of December, and so a week apart, although 8 years apart. Make a list, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, to be served, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many, Mark 10:45. Christ says, I, the Lord of all, came to serve. And there's our goal. Number 9, I press, set priorities and concentrate on accomplishing one thing at a time. My wife says that she can multitask, but I noticed even in multitasking, she's only doing one thing at a time. Just occurred to me that You know, this whole thing of one hand doing the baking, one hand doing the dishes, it just didn't happen. I think multitasking is her way of defining not doing something till she's done, but doing something else in between. And that's fine, because she's very dedicated and gets the thing done. But I can't do that. I can't remember all I'm supposed to be doing on this thing until I finish it. So I have to go one thing at a time and focus on one. I've noticed something else about my wife. I haven't told anybody this. I'll announce it to the whole church. My wife laughs a lot. When my daughter was dating a really scumbag, he said, "Your mom laughs a lot." And she said, "Yeah, she does." Well, I've noticed that. And I guess I'm kind of limited in what I laugh at. People falling down and making a mess, I like to laugh at that. I try not to show them that I'm laughing. It just strikes me as funny. But when something humorous happens, I laugh at it. See? But I noticed that she's laughing at things that she loves, the things that she rejoices in. Talking to the grandchildren, you find her laughing about every other sentence. And nothing funny was said, just beautiful, endearing things. And that just moves her to laughter. I love that about her. Where was I? What am I? Number 9. I press. Make a list of the things you need to do. Prioritize by asking, what is my highest value activity? People will ask me, "Pastor, this is what's going on in my life. What should I do next?" I have no idea. So I say, do the next best thing. Now that puts it back on them. But examine what your options are and do the best thing. Do it first. See. What results should I obtain? This is a question to ask when you're just not doing something just to be doing, but you're doing something to get results. What results are you after? What can I do that will make a difference? Not just do, but what can I do that will make a difference? Philippians 1:10, that you may approve things that are excellent. This is our goal, that you may be sincere without offense. Number 10, I press. Practice self-discipline in all things. A fella said, as a pastor, how do you do that? I said, do what? How do you get it done? There's nobody looking after you. Nobody saying you have to get this done now. You have to do this then. He says, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't get anything done. I said, well, that's an interesting question. The way I have solved it is that I found that I can't work all the time. Like I just burn out. My head doesn't work that well after a while. So I have to take a break. But my goal is to do the work first, because there's a natural end to my daily work, where my recreation time, there's no end to that. Just many things that I find. I was standing there and I decided to check Facebook and got into the videos. I stood there for half an hour, stood in one spot, looking at videos, ridiculous kittens. I mean, when I came to, I could hardly move my legs. I said, this is ridiculous. So you have to do the important stuff first and then take a break. See. Practice self-discipline in all things. Do what you should when you should. Get it done first. The Bible calls self-discipline temperance. If you read temperance in the Bible, it's talking about your self-discipline. Galatians 5:22-24, how do you learn this? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In all of this, self-control, you see. Against such there is no law. and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, put to death the flesh, but the flesh wants this, yeah, but put it to death, with the affection, with the passions, with the lust, put it all to death, and just do what you need to do when you need to do it. 2 Peter 1, 5-7, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. So after you got the knowledge, bring on the self-discipline and do what you've learned is the best. To temperance, patience. This is the word endurance. You say, well, I don't know if I can keep this up, but endure, learn endurance. And to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. This is love to the rest of the world. 10 good meditation New Year's resolutions based on Paul's vow, declaration of what he did, how he lived his life. I press toward the mark. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to gather together for our physical food, for our spiritual food, hopefully even today, our food for progress, our food for discipline, our food for growth, of not just living another year, but growing another year, of developing, of becoming Christ-like in this year. Father, help us not to waste the time. We don't get any more of it. We don't know when you're going to call us home. We don't know when our work on this earth is done, but Christ said, even in the fleeting time we have, work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, let me just ask, if these are some of the New Year's resolutions that you think you would like to incorporate in your life, it's one of the things that you want to step forward in this year and say, it's time to be the one doing the pushing rather than being pushed. It is time for me to take recollection and account of myself rather than just waiting to be pushed by my boss. I think it's time for me to take up the self-discipline of holiness and growth. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Say, pray for me. Yes. Yes. Well, many. Amen. Father, then we just thank you for the encouragement that you give us in the Word of God. And by a little meditation on it, we find all the expressions of self-determination. So we pray thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.